gentlemen, and welcome to another fabulous episode of the Off My Chest podcast. As always, I'm your host, Alex Hebert, and sitting across from me is my co-host, Bryce. Bryce, what's going on?
It's Bryce Meehan.
I'm
good, man. I'm good. You know, living it up. We're recording on a different day, which is a little weird.
It is. It is.
Life you know, is still going crazy.
Yeah, we can't go and do what we usually do. It's like, hey, let's go get hammered. It's like, we can't really go get hammered on a Tuesday.
I know, right? And we got to get this out by tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Yeah. No, everything's good, though. It's good hectic, but it's still hectic. So yeah. For those that don't know, I have another little one on the way, so everything right now is just kind of around that, and I'm moving, and yeah, just it all is going crazy right now.
So. Life is getting in the way of the important stuff, like the podcast.
Jeez.
Podcast, drinking time, yeah.
Everything. And it was just Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to everybody. We were hoping to have Alex's pops on, but that didn't happen. We were all out and about, and Father's Day-ing it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
We got pretty twisted. So, anyways.
That was fun.
Speaking of being dumbasses. Sorry. That was my segue.
Oh, that was a perfect segue. Yeah, I did probably the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, but preface it with you did win something.
I did. Okay. For everyone that is in the Kansas City area, down near Westport, there's a place called Brown's Irish Market. Every year they have a Irish Fest. We go down.
Whoops.
Headbutt the microphone.
Yeah.
We go down every year with some of Mom's friends, and it's fun. It's fun. And there was a thing down there. It was called Embrace. I actually want to give them a shout out. What they actually do is they help for the schooling of children with autism. So it is a good cause.
Cool.
So what it is...
So you're when you're drinking, you're supporting... You're giving them money.
Well, what it was we were sitting there, and we had our chairs all set up, and I'm looking. I'm trying to find Dad. And I'm like, where in the hell is he?
Yeah.
I look, and he's over talking to some guy. So I go, mosey over with my beer, and look what he's doing, and find out that he is talking to these people. And what he is doing is... They are having some charity, you know, charity stuff, you know, auctioning off. One
silent
of them,
auction or what?
No. Yeah, kind of thing. Well, it's you have to buy raffle.
No. Yeah.
It was you buy raffle tickets.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
And it was like $6 for $5 or whatever, or you could do an arm's length for $40.
Deal.
So that worked, you know, for me. Uh-huh. I mean, I'd had few beers in me. I'm just like, here's $40. So I go and I held my arms out, of course. And
yeah, you have a long reach too.
Yes, I do. Yes, yeah. I do. And I'd put it in for...
They did both arms.
Yes, from fingertip...
So your wingspan.
Yes, fingertip to fingertip.
Dang, that's a good one.
So I go and I entered for... It was four Diamond Club seats and a parking pass for Lot M for the Royals. And then I went and entered for a picture too. And
who was the picture of?
No, it was actually a printed picture of the Royals World Series celebration, the one you see right in front of Union Station with the...
Oh, everybody, the thousands
yes,
and thousands of...
Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
So we went, and I was, shockingly enough, shout out again to Brewtop, sitting there with a buddy, and I get a call. Number I didn't recognize. Looked.
So I ignored it.
I do. I'm that person. If I don't see a number, I don't...
You don't pick it up?
No, I don't.
That's...
I barely answer the phone when it's people I know. But I went and I saw they left a voicemail and listened, and they're like, hey, this is, I think her name was Liz from Embrace. Just letting you know you won the four tickets for, you know, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, no kidding. That's expensive. Diamond Club here is expensive.
Yes, yes.
And the parking's expensive.
Yes. So I went down, picked the tickets up. I heard it was on Tuesday. So we go Tuesday after work. I go home. I packed the cooler. I'd gotten and bought sandwiches, packed the chairs up. My mom got home, packed it all into her car. We went down to go get Dad. We were meeting someone else there too.
Yeah.
We pull up. We give the tickets. And the woman that's standing in thing, she said, these tickets are invalid. And I'm just like, what?
They screwed me.
Assholes. And all of a sudden she's like, these tickets are for next Tuesday. And I looked, and I'm just like, oh, no.
Especially because the funniest part of the story is that they invited somebody else that was meeting them there.
Who had already was in there and paid a parking. And I go, and I'm like, oh, no. We pulled off to the side. Dad calls him. They're both laughing their ass off. I'm like, son of a bitch. And all of a sudden, what we decided to do is we end up getting a parking pass. And we went in, since we had shit to tailgate. Yeah. We just sat there and tailgated. And, of course,
Ian, so you just hung out in the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah. Ate our sandwiches, had our chips, drank a shit ton of beer.
By the way, who brings sandwiches? That's just that's a weird thing.
If we would have had more time, we would have gone and actually brought in a grill. Yeah,
because it's just a night game.
Yeah,
so you thought you were just going to have to go straight from work in.
Yeah, we thought we were going to go scarf our sandwiches down, have our beer, and then go.
Gotcha.
Yeah, if we would have had more time, we would have brought in the grill, had burgers, dogs, all that stuff.
Cool.
Well, game was supposed to be tonight, so we ended up selling the tickets. So, yeah, mom's telling me as I'm just sitting there just steaming, she's like, you'll find this funny eventually, and I go and have my first sip of beer, and I'm like, give me at the end of my fifth beer, and I might find it funny. And I was right.
Yeah. It's a good time.
Yeah, it was. It was. So
it all works out. Sometimes those happy accidents are good, though.
Oh, yeah. You know what? It makes for a good story, and I kid you not, when I went and it happened, I go and I'm like, we're opening up with the podcast next. But ironically enough, the thing that Dad entered on that thing,
yeah,
he actually won.
What did he win?
It was a 10-person tour for the McCormick's Distillery up in Weston.
Oh,
so I actually went down and picked the tickets up after work today.
Uh-huh.
There was three guys who were salespeople for McCormick's down there. They call it Holiday now. I guess they got sold.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I went, the woman who owns the place took a picture, and I told her about winning the Royals tickets, and she was like, oh, my son went, and my son was the one who drew the tickets. Came out, I think he was probably 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Come to find out, her son has autism.
Oh, wow.
And he comes up, he goes, he's like, this guy that won tickets. I'm like, hey, little man, and went and gave me a high five, gave me a big hug. We took a picture with the salespeople.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was cool.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
So, we're going to McCormick's then? Can I fill into the 10 spot? Because I find it amazing, don't you guys? I didn't get to go. I wasn't invited. Winning Diamond Club tickets. Someone that you run a beer, sports, and bullshit show with doesn't get invited to go drink beer, watch sports, and do some bullshit.
That was actually the game that we, the game we tried to go to was a game where we were tied 1-1 going into the 10th, and then we lost 5-1.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm just saying, you know. I mean, my feelings aren't hurt. I'm not saying that. But I'm definitely going to McCormick's, so your dad better step up and know what's going on. Because we going to get shwasted. Have you ever been to that place?
I have not. Oh, I've driven by it because I really never been to Weston a ton.
Yeah, Weston's fun. They have an amazing Irish fest.
Yeah.
Stuff's awesome.
The only thing that bugs me about Weston is how small the roads are there.
Yeah, well, it's an old town.
I know.
And it's far. So I got stuck there once at an Irish fest, and I could not get a ride. I could not get someone, like an Uber, a Lyft, a taxi. I couldn't get, and I'm like, my wife's like, where are you? I'm like, I can't get a ride. Like, at this point, I'm sober. Like, I literally am waiting, and luckily, I saw friends of mine that were leaving, and I was like, hey, guys, I know you don't live close. I said, I don't care if you get me just out of Weston and into North KC, I'll take an Uber from there, but I at least know I can get a ride.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll give you a ride. And I was like, oh, my God, thank God.
Hell, they could have just gotten you to Platt City.
Yeah,
drop you off at the Quick Trip, and you would have been better.
I would have been able to figure it out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that was crazy. But speaking of Ubers, you heard this freaking, you might not be able to use Uber for the reason that Uber was invented, not being able to be drunk.
Wasn't that the reason Uber was invented? Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, so it's like, what I read anyway, and it doesn't make any sense. There's a ton of people making fun of it, and we're a little late to the party because we recorded late. But basically, it's saying that Uber's looking that they'll be able to find out if you're drunk or not, which I don't know how they'll be able to do. Let's say call you, maybe?
you answer, you're like, huh?
Yeah. Or you just know that you pass it to your sober. I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, the whole point, I use Uber, literally. I mean, you've seen me use it all the time. I mean, my truck is, if I'm drinking, my truck stays wherever I parked it. And I don't get it. I don't know. That's the only reason I might have to use Lyft. I've never I haven't used Lyft since I lived in California. So yeah,
that just it doesn't make any sense. Like you said, I mean, people use Uber for if they're out somewhere or like if they're in a different city and they need a ride, or if they're in their city, they want to go and be like, hey, I've had too much to drink. Mm-hmm. I need an Uber.
Or just sometimes you just don't want to freaking drive somewhere because of parking or whatever.
Yeah, if you're going to, you know, like if you're going out to Sprint Center for an event, you don't want to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what we do that all the time, just so we don't have to. It's already $20 to park. What does it matter to pay, you know, $15 to get down there? And then, you know, by the time it spikes, maybe $25-$30 to get back. But again, I will spend $200 on an Uber ride to not have a $10,000 DUI.
Exactly.
So that's just me. What else we got, man? Have you heard anything new? Anything great?
Well,
go ahead. Sorry,
I was going to say it is a bit late to the party, but the horse Triple Crown,
the old horse.
Yeah, the old horse, Sport of Kings. Yeah, I mean that's the thing.
It's still amazing.
It is because the thing is,
we're definitely late, but it's still amazing.
The thing is they didn't have one since Secretariat in the 70s, and now they've had two in the past 3 years.
What was the last one?
American Pharoah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. The only reason I remember that is because I went.
Because you're a big Brendan Fraser fan?
Hashtag me too, Brendan. That was a terrible joke. I'm actually ashamed of that one. I'm not going to lie. But I actually got an email from an online sports book I hadn't used in years.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, you know, here's a free $50 bet. So I went and I bet on American Pharoah to win like $500.
Oh my! So you took their free money and won. What's up with you winning all this shit? We have to go to Vegas, dude. I mean, I'm winning in Vegas lately. You're going to be winning in Vegas. We're going to have to make this work.
But yeah, I mean, it is insane when you go and you think, you know,
that a 5 foot man can ride a horse. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, because when you go and you look, like you know, Triple Crown was just as rare in horse racing as it was in baseball. Baseball had one with Miguel Cabrera probably 3-4 years ago, and now horse racing hadn't won since the 70s, and now they've had two in the past 3 years. I mean, it is definitely crazy. I mean, you go through spurts like this in sports where a record won't be touched for a while, and all of a sudden, you know, you'll have a bunch of them, and then it won't go. It's like the market. It just goes in cycles.
Yeah. So. Don't even want to talk about the market right now with what's going on with these tariffs and stuff. Can't even. I was going to say something to you. I don't remember what it was because then I thought I had to burp. Hold on. Definitely leaving that one. Wasn't anything to be proud of, but I was going to talk about the, on the movie side, the, you know, the little elephant. There's an elephant in his big ears.
Dumbo?
Dumbo. Okay, so you've seen it? Have you seen it?
Oh,
the remake? The Tim Burton? Is it not Tim Burton? Is it Tim Burton?
Tim Burton.
Yeah. It looks so good.
It does.
I mean, I'm tired of Hollywood running out of ideas, but if they're going to do it with all this new animation, like The Jungle Book, the new Jungle Book by Jon Favreau, if you haven't seen it.
I have not. I need it.
Unbelievable just animating. I don't even call it animating. Special effects. It's just so real with human actors and what they're doing for animals now. Yeah. I mean, and the Dumbo just looks so cute with the big old ears.
Because the thing is watching the previews, and for all of you guys out there, if you've not seen it, go to YouTube, Dumbo.
We'll put a link in the description.
Yeah, Dumbo, yeah, 28, you know, remake. Just the fact is the song that they have playing is the song that his mom sings to him as she's kind of rocking him in the original.
Yes.
The way Tim Burton makes the movies and all that, it just looks so good.
Yeah, and you guys have to watch it. I can't explain it, but I know exactly what you're talking about. It almost makes it eerie.
Yes.
Like, because she's singing it in the original animation, that's when she's rocking him. And, I mean, it's a terrible story. I mean, the freaking elephant loses his mom. Like, there's like a ton of, like, it's not that, but Tim Burton, I think, from at least the previews and the actors that are in it, I mean, Colin Farrell.
Danny DeVito.
And Danny DeVito. Yeah. Like, there's some big names in this.
Exactly. I want to know.
And not the original Tim Burton cast, like the normal people that he always gets.
You know damn well somewhere Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter are going to be in there somewhere. The thing I want to know is he going to have the crows in it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the crows are good. The thing that I was bummed about the Jungle Book is that they didn't have the vultures.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking, you know that part where they're the Beatles? It's like the, what do you want to do today? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. Like that part. They didn't have that in that. But still, I just love John Favreau. I give him a lot of credit in other podcasts, but I think he's a really, really good director. But I also like Tim Burton movies.
I do. And the thing, if it was me, and this is going to sound real corny, my favorite Disney movie, Mary Poppins.
Really?
Yeah, and I can't
remember. The new one is coming out. You know that, right?
Is it?
Yeah. What's his name's wife? She's super British. Who's the guy that plays Jim on The Office? What's his name? He just directed that new silent movie.
Damn it. Oh, this is going to bug me.
I'm looking it up. I got you. Mary Poppins, the original, 2018. Emily Blunt.
Thank you.
That is who's playing it. But yeah, it's supposed to be pretty amazing
And I actually went, and it was at Blockbuster. It was on sale, and I went and bought it. Some 18-year-old kid was working behind the counter, and he looked stoned. And I went and had it, and he looked at the movie, looked at me, and he's like, are you sure you want this? And I'm like, just ring up my fucking movie, dude. And again, I couldn't explain why I love the movie.
I'm the same way. Those movies, I love Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
And
Julie Andrews,
thank you. Great. I mean, for that era. And the thing I love about old Disney movies is thinking about them, how magical they were back then and how long they took to make.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, that shit was, we're so, like, talking about this Jungle Book movie now, like all that stuff, we are so spoiled with how good stuff looks, as opposed to putting a real-life character with an animated character back then took so much time.
Oh, exactly.
And so much effort.
And the thing is
it's like, go ahead.
If you listen to the music in that...
the way they were written. Have you ever watched the Disney documentary about the people that wrote the music?
For?
Like the entire... All the movies.
Oh.
Like literally. The brothers that wrote the original stuff for The Jungle Book, for Louis Prima, and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing.
I think they said one of the songs, it's called Feed the Birds in Mary Poppins, was actually played at Walt Disney's funeral.
Really?
Yes.
I like those types, that same era, like Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Yes.
Like all of those. Those are some of my favorite movies. I still have all the VHSs, actually, in my garage.
Heck, they're probably worth money now.
Yeah. Well, they say if you have the diamond... If it has the black diamond on it, they're worth a lot of money, which all mine are. So I don't know if they're actually worth a lot of money. They're everywhere, but...
You tell your wife, you're just like, I don't have money in the stock market or all that. I've invested my money in Disney.
Well, I mean, you, like behind you, right there, I mean, I have VHS players everywhere.
Oh, exactly.
I still love VHS players,
yeah.
But I'm also a nerd like that. Like I have all the old movies I used to watch, like On a Golden Pond and like all the... Like, yeah. You know, grumpy old men, like all that kind of stuff. I just named two old people movies. I don't even know why I did that. Dude, the only reason I loved Grumpy Old Men was not, that's not true. I loved them for the characters, but the what's his name? The old guy that played the guy's dad, who was super, super old. Like, and he like used to get cigarettes and he's like always like shaking, super old dude.
Shit.
Damn it. What's his name?
Thank God for Google.
Yeah.
Oh, hell.
This is when we get into this, and I just like, it's trying to load something. No, please don't. Stop. Grumpy. Someone's probably already yelling it out. Grumpy old man.
Walter Matthau? No.
Walter, Jack Lemmon.
He
plays, no, it's Walter Matthau, but Max Goldman, his dad, or no. Jack Lemmon, who plays John Gustafson, whoever plays his dad. What was that old guy's name?
Jack Benny? I don't know. I really can't.
Come on, man. They don't even have him in here. Burgess. Oh, yeah. Burgess Meredith.
The Penguin.
It is the Penguin. Yes. Rocky. How did I not know that? But anyways, so he, in my favorite line from him in that movie, when he's talking about his son needing to do stuff and like get laid, and he's like this old guy. He's like, back in my day, I was running with every woman in Wabasha. And he like, and he throws his arm up and hits it. Like he's like still got like a rock hard cock. It's the funniest thing in the entire world, man.
I tell you what's on my mind. It's butt cold out here, and I'm fresh out of beer.
Oh, you hear? Someone moved into the Klickner place. Woman.
A woman?
Yeah.
Did you mount her?
Oh, Dad.
No, no, one minute. Has she got big thighs?
No.
No? Then what's the problem? If I was a young fella like you, I'd be mounting every woman in Wabasha.
I don't know why we're off on this tangent. How did we get on this?
Well, we
old
went...
Old movies in VHS, I guess.
Yeah, we went from VHS movies to Burgess Meredith having a huge hard cock. I don't know.
Guys, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's
See,
great.
This is what happens when we have a podcast when we don't drink. we start going off in these tangents.
Yeah, but when we're drinking, somehow it's coherent.
Yes, somehow.
Yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah, it is.
You were going to talk about Chris Hardwick and...
some of his allegations. Yeah.
Some shady.
Jeez.
If you guys haven't heard this, listen up.
Yeah. Chris Hardwick Chris Hardwick, for all of you who don't know, started the Nerdist, you know, broadcasting network, was on the Talking Dead, big in the Comic-Con thing. He is fucked. He went and his ex-girlfriend went and wrote a letter and pretty much said all the things that he did. And it's some sick, sick shit. It is. I mean, he went and pretty much said, I mean, I'll give you a few of them. It was like she had to weigh in every week, which
That's
caused
so
her,
terrible,
yeah,
man.
Caused her to go and actually become bulimic, like skin and bones, skinny. She couldn't talk to him when they're eating dinner. If they were out, he couldn't talk unless spoken to. it's just disgusting. I mean, and the thing is, I'm just like, really?
What's up with these crazy people, dude?
I don't know.
Or what would drive you to be such a fucking... That's got to be his own insecurities.
Because the thing is she went, and I guess she said a few times, she's like, oh, I'm leaving you, and all of a sudden he just... like
he loses it.
He's like, oh my god, please don't leave me, I love you, and all this, and then she changes her mind and then he goes back to normal.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
beaten wife syndrome.
Yeah, she talked about Stockholm.
Is that what it's called?
Stockholm syndrome, where you go and some woman gets kidnapped and then she goes and ends up like falling in love with her kidnapper.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Yep.
But they said her biggest her realization, she's like, I gotta get out. She was standing on a bridge over the 405, and she's just getting ready to jump. She's like, I can't do this anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know what?
I mean, I guess it happens. I can't say I'm perfect. I'm definitely not perfect. But damn.
I've met your wife. If you asked her and say, hey, honey, you need to have a weigh-in every week, she would kill you.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't give a shit about it. I mean,
I don't
get how you get to that point.
I don't either. And the thing is,
I guess you don't. No one ever understand it, but
yeah, exactly. If you're that famous, if you're that, you know, whatever, don't date. You can just date any woman you want.
Yeah, but maybe it's the control thing.
That could be.
What I mean?
Yeah,
he feels powerful because he feels not powerful in his own life. So controlling someone else gives him that power. I don't know. You know what I mean? There's so many books and so many like fucked up reasonings. I don't know. It's still ridiculous.
It's some sick shit.
Yeah, like the 65,000 text girl. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Or the fucking one that just happened, the freaking girl that is literally dressed up as her... Did you hear about this? Dressed up as her boyfriend to be able to... so he wouldn't... He's like an amazing musician, and he was accepted to this like really amazing school, and she went in as him and ruined his audition.
No.
Yeah. And now she owes him $350,000.
What a crazy, crazy bitch.
So he wouldn't leave. Like,
oh my God.
I need me a girl like that, bro. Gonna mess up my audition for me?
God, I think you're amazing.
Oh my God, don't ever leave me.
Ever.
Good. Because I'd find you.
Yeah.
My God, what a nutty, nutty broad.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they exist. They're out there for sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've dated a couple of them. They are definitely some. Yeah, we'll get into those when I'm drinking. I was about to go off on a tangent on some crazy girl stories, but
for another day, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we call a cliffhanger.
Yeah, please come back. Please.
For next time.
For next time. Do we need to get in? What haven't we covered? We've done some movies. We've done some crazy bitches. We've done some horse racing.
We've covered Uber. We've covered all that.
Bill Cosby.
No. Let's think. Let's run it down. We've covered. We said Bird Top. We need to say Bill Cosby. We need to say Rodney Dangerfield.
And Don Rickles.
Don Rickles.
Good to go. All right, we're set. I guess we can hit some gambling. You got any gambling stories?
I have a gambling story that I read, and it might be the craziest gambling story I've ever read in my life.
I was just fucking with you. You really have a gambling story?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Of course you do.
It was a...
I was at the casino, all right? And this guy comes up.
And he goes, and he's like, hey, I'll give you $100. I ran it up. I won a casino.
Yeah.
But it was probably 94. Guy by the name of Sam Grizzle. He's a old school poker player, and he's really well known as being not the guys you see nowadays if you watch like the World Series of Poker on ESPN, the young kids with the hoodies and then all that.
Yeah, the sunglasses.
He is a old school, hate to say, just degenerate gambler poker player.
Poker's nice. I love to play poker.
I know you do. I love to too.
He was out at the Commerce Casino in L.A. He walked in, sat down on the game. They said, Sam, you buying in? Pulled out of his wallet, and he says, here's my buy-in, $2. And he went. He went, and someone's like, you know what? You look good for this game. Went, paid, gave him $10,000.
What?
Was playing. Ended up running it up. This guy was going to leave, and he said, Sam, I want my $10,000 back. Took his $10,000, only had $4,000, which wasn't enough for the game. But they were like, you know, in the professional poker circuit, I mean, they know he's good for it. Well, they know, and they're just like, oh, let's, you know, we'll let him stay in. He ends up running it up, and they had a tournament that was going on. He's like, guys, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to, you know, pretty much just let you keep all your money. I'm going to go enter this tournament. Entered the tournament, won.
How much?
$165,000.
Off $4,000?
What? Yes. Sat down, and then he went, took the money.
That's where Kenny Loggins' song just comes on. The gambler.
Kenny Rogers?
Is it Kenny Rogers?
Yeah, Kenny Rogers.
What did I say?
Kenny Loggins.
Oh, yeah, wrong guy. Still Kenny.
Kenny.
Yeah.
Close. But
remember that fucking clip of the guy was always like, I'm Kenny Rogers, and welcome to Jackass.
Will Sasso.
Is that what that is?
Will Sasso on Mad TV.
Mad TV, yes. Thank you. He's all, this is the fetch a bet. What does he say? This is the catch a bat trick with my tea.
I'm Kenny Rogers, and this is the bat fetcher trick with my tea.
Oh my God, that brings me back to my teenage years.
But he went, and then he took the money after he went.
$165,000.
$165,000, was celebrating, and sat down in another poker game. He proceeded. He ended up playing a game, called Raz. Raz is...
R-A-Z?
R-A-Z-Z. Best way I can describe it, I'm not going to sit here and explain the rules, but it's 7-card stud.
Okay.
But you have to make the worst, like the low hand. So instead of trying to make a high hand...
Yes, you have to make the worst hand.
Yes,
I've heard about this.
Okay. Sat down. Blinds were 800, 1600. And he was playing
with... I don't know what blinds mean.
Like, the money you have to buy in for it. Like, the betting and all that.
This guy knows way too much about gambling. Sorry, guys. If you need help, just write in and let me know, because I would love to ask those questions for you, because I have no idea sometimes.
We might do that one day. Just have a podcast where we just have a... You ask me...
Explaining?
Yes.
I'm down.
Exactly.
I'm definitely down for that.
And, but he set down 1600 Raz game with some of the best Raz players in the world. He lost all his money but $2.
Get out of here.
So he went and he came in with $2, got it up to $165,000.
And left with $2.
And end up 24, 28 hours later, left with $2.
You gotta know when to hold them.
Know
when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
I heard that. I'm like, you gotta be shitting me.
But he's a millionaire though, right? I'm assuming.
No.
What?
No.
So he just loves gambling that much that it doesn't.
That's the thing. You'll have the gamblers who will go and they'll win money and they can keep it. But you also have the gamblers who will go and guys who can win $500,000 playing poker, but they'll go and they'll hit the craps table. They'll hit the blackjack table and end up losing it before they
walk out the door.
Yes, exactly.
But they also, when you're a high roller too, don't they always like try to like, hey, we got you in a room so that you like you stay another night.
Exactly.
And spend your money.
And the thing is, like in a casino, yeah, when they go, that Japanese guy comes in, wins
the plane broke.
Yeah, better down here than you know up there.
Yeah.
And then he goes and ends up losing back $4 million of his own money.
Yeah,
that's the thing. They know mathematically, the longer you stay, the more likely they're going to get it all back.
Yeah. No, it's true.
I mean, there's countless gambling stories of some guy came in drunk, sat down at the blackjack table, Bellagio.
Hit it big.
No, sat down at the blackjack table, just hammered. Couldn't even form coherent sentences. And he's like, I'm going to go and I'm going to play till my chips hit my chin. And he went and won, got a giant stack, won like $250,000. Until his chips hit his chin, and as soon as they hit his chin, he passed out.
So they that's had a real story.
Yes, they had to go and they had to literally rack his chips up for him, carry him. They put him in a room.
Yeah.
They put his chips. As soon as he woke up, he woke. You know, he's like, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
They went, took him downstairs, gave him his money. Yeah. He left. Yeah, and then that's it. Yeah.
So they didn't win his money back.
No.
Wow.
No, I mean
that's got to happen sometimes. Yeah, I mean, there are, whether it's 1%, there's still a 1% chance. You know,
yeah,
and,
I mean,
and you can be in that 1%.
Yeah, there's that. There was a guy came down, tried to, the Binion's, which is a famous casino downtown in Vegas, mm-hmm. went.
Gone now.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's still there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the one on
Fremont.
Fremont, thank you.
Yeah, well, the one right on the corner.
Yes.
Benny Binion, the guy who used to own it, started a... He ran a no-limit craps table, which you can't really have anymore. Guy came in with a suitcase, bet $770,000 on the pass line. Two rolls later, he won, got in cash, left.
We found him dead in his room.
No. Not quite. I want to say it was the next year came, brought $1 million, bet on the pass line, one roll. Lost it, and he just got out and left.
No, I don't even know what that would feel like, dude. Like the anxiety I get when I lose $1,000, I couldn't imagine $1 million.
I mean,
I guess if you're just like, I guess I do that even with 500. Fuck a thousand. Like anytime I get taken that quickly, I'm like,
Hell, I won $40 on a scratcher the other day. I was happier than a pig and shit.
You won just... $40 on a scratcher?
Yeah.
We are going to Vegas. This is stupid.
I went and go, and I looked at it, and I'm like, holy shit, I got gas and drinking money for a few days.
That's what you thought of.
Yes,
my
exactly.
Favorite.
Exactly.
Well, man, I think that's a good one for a Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, I got one more.
Okay.
I got one more thing.
God damn.
I was thinking about this.
I just wanted to go to sleep. No, you're good. What's up?
Okay, I got one more thing. If you're thinking, you know, we talk about beer, we talk about bullshit, mm-hmm. but we talk about sports.
Yeah.
If you had to pick, what's the greatest sporting event you have ever seen? A game like where you watch it and you're like, this will stick with me for the rest of my life in detail, everything.
Everything that happened?
Yes. And again, it may... I'd say we can almost do two. We can do a local game, you know, a local college or pro. Hell, it can even be a high school game.
Sure.
And then one outside.
You already have yours, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, you tell yours. Let me think on mine. Okay. Go. Are you doing any sport?
Yeah, it can be any sport. Hell, it can be a college volleyball game for all I care.
Just... Well, I was at this curling match once. I'm just kidding.
I was watching a game of, bags. I had $1,000 on Finland on the money line. They went Johan Strusev. No, I don't know.
It probably is the person.
Oh, probably. Okay. I'll actually go local. And best game I've ever seen was actually high school football game. Local.
Which?
It was Staley and Lee Summit West. Staley's where I went to high school. Shout out Staley.
You went to Staley?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Junior and senior year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Went to St. Pius freshman and sophomore year.
Dope.
So, but they went, and Staley was playing to go into state. So it'd be the quarterfinal?
Quarterfinals. Yep.
Staley ended up winning this game 77-70 in seven overtimes.
Seven?
Seven.
Wow.
I kid you not, probably the fourth overtime I went... And they end up scoring a touchdown on like a guy. Quarterback went through. Ball went off the receiver's hands. Cornerback went up to go and grab it and went into the other guy's hands. And we were standing. I went about put my foot through a metal wall. I was so pissed.
You're stoked?
Huh? No, I was so pissed. I was like, son of a bitch. But yeah, they ended up going and winning. I kid you not. I was so excited. I said, I don't even care. I went and ran down on the field.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. It was so amazing. Like, literally, I think that game.
I'm trying to think of a moment where I was just, like, enthralled with excitement for a team. Like, I was just like,
But.
Go ahead. I'm trying to think in my head. I'm talking out loud. Here.
But I can also say, outside of local, it would probably be 2001, 2003, national title game between Miami Hurricanes and Ohio State Buckeyes.
Football?
Yes, okay. Football. Because Miami was stacked with just everyone. I mean, they had Willis McGahee, Frank Gore. I mean, their defense had
everyone.
Out of their 11 starters, I think 8 went on to be in the NFL.
Jeez.
I mean, had Kellen Winslow Jr., who now is going to be in jail for life, but...
What'd he do?
He's getting charged with 9 counts of rape.
Oh, okay. Yeah, moving on.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby. But yeah, Ohio State ended up winning in overtime. It was a controversial finish. All that. Ohio State wasn't expected to win.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, I remember more. That was the Maurice Clarett. If for anyone who knows who that is, he was there only as a freshman. They had a guy by the name of Craig Krenzel, who was the quarterback. Why I remember that, I don't know.
Krenzel.
Jim Tressel was the coach. Why I remember all this shit, I don't know.
Rain Man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
272 toothpicks.
What? 272? 272 toothpicks. 272. Judge Wapner.
Anyways.
But yeah, Ohio State.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about something.
But yeah, Ohio State ended up winning the game. I mean, they were.
Why were you so excited about that, though?
Just watching it, because it's. I don't know why I was, but it was just one of those games that I remember my dad let me stay up. We were watching the game. I mean, because one of my mom's real good friends is a big Ohio State fan. Uh-huh. So we were rooting for Ohio State. Just the excitement, the way the game ended and all that.
I remember the big one when, Vince Young. Was Texas quarterback?
Yes, Texas.
The Texas, I don't know if it was a bowl game. Rose I was Bowl. In high school.
Rose Bowl.
USC?
Yes.
Is that what it was? I remember that one for sure because I was with a ton of friends in high school. And it was a big deal. I mean, everybody, he was going to the NFL. Like, it was a big, big deal. And they ended up winning, right?
That was a phenomenal game, too. That the thing is if you look at that USC team, they had won the national title game the year before.
Yep.
You got Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, you got Pete Carroll. You got
everybody that means something even more now.
Exactly. Yep. And all on that team, though, You take Vince Young off that team wins maybe six games.
Yeah.
But he goes and gets that team to undefeated and a national title
game. Yep. That's why it was so amazing. I remember it was, you were talking about just that excitement feeling. Definitely, I mean, I didn't have anything in the fight. But,
dog in the fight.
But it's literally, it was a fun time because everybody, it was the whole football team. You know, like everybody was there. It was fun. It was high school. The other ones for me, I really think of where I get really excited and, I mean, besides Chiefs games are really what we're in right now, and that's World Cup time. I mean, this is when I get, for those that don't know, I played soccer for a lot of years, love the game, big enthusiast, don't play so much anymore. Still got some foot skills, though. If you want to get shown up, you let me know. but literally, that's a phone call. I'm good. I was trying to think. I was in college, 2006.
We're talking about the dude from France who headbutted that guy?
Zinedine Zidane.
Zidane.
Yeah. So, yes, that was a very big moment in sports for me. Not about the game, really, but, I mean, that was a really big fucking deal. And then, really, 2014, when the U.S., we're not even in the World Cup. I don't want to get started on that. You're going to make me sad.
You brought up the World Cup.
No, I know. But it's like, it's that thing. The World Cup is so exciting all over the world. But it's definitely like watching the games. Like, I was watching the games on Father's Day and the day before, meeting with friends that, you know, we only get together when this is happening. But we're all still friends throughout the 4 years. Like, all those games are so exciting because they're all mean something. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's to get to that big game, but it's worldwide. Like, I know we say they're world champions in baseball, and like, these people really are. It's every good nation, and they get to put their best foot literally into the game. Yeah. No pun intended there.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's definitely, I mean, I'll fully admit, like, when you get on a soccer talk, you're taking the lead on that. Cause
no, for sure. I mean, but it's something that, again, it's a sport that I really played and I really liked, you know, and definitely. I played football, I played baseball, I played all those other sports, but
soccer was
good at it. I had a strong foot. I was a lefty. So am a lefty. I'm not dead. but anyways, yeah, those are my sports moments for sure. I would really have to think about, I'm sure there's some really big ones. I just can't think.
You know
of
what, you know, what's one that just came up and you're going to look at me like, get out of my house.
Don't say KU right now. You were going to say KU. I'm going to beep you. In post, I'm going to beep you if you say KU. No. Every time you say KU, I'm going to make it seem like you said the F word.
Even though I've said fuck 10 times before.
Doesn't matter. KU is fucking my house. but anyways, what are you going to say?
No, I was going to say some of those games, though, like some of those games have taken years off my life watching.
Oh, yeah.
Just
the basketball games?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I know you're not talking about any other sport at KU. So.
Well, I mean,
keep going.
No, the last one that they played at Allen Fieldhouse. We went down to Bar Louie. It was right after it first opened.
Uh-huh.
And me, my mom, my dad, one of my mom's friends, and a couple other people were there. And one other guy was down there who was a KU fan, and he was standing off to the side.
Yeah.
And MU was up. KU ends up comeback winning. And that was one. Michael Dixon goes for a free layup at the very end.
Uh-huh.
And I looked and I'm just like, that didn't go in before the time. All the MU fans are cheering. And I go, and all of a sudden they realize I literally sprint over to a man I've never met in my life and hug him.
Nice.
And all of a sudden I go and I'm walking back. I'm looking, I'm getting dirty looks. I'm just like, I might get my ass kicked in this bar.
Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, yeah, that's the thing I love about sports. In all honesty, you can watch a drama or any type of movie. Some sports games are some of the greatest dramas that have ever been put on television.
Even regular season games. I mean, I remember last year, some of the Chiefs games. That's why we love sports.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just, it's the unknown, and the underdog story is always such a... Even if it doesn't benefit, you have to give them credit for, you know, coming back doing it.
That's the best thing. Like, when you go and if it's just a random football game, you got no dog in the fight, you can watch. You're just like, oh, I'm going to root for the underdog
kind of thing.
And, I mean, some of those games you could sit there and watch and they're phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, this was exciting. Instead of, you know, turning on a random Tuesday night.
Con Air. For the 11,000th time.
For the Tuesday night, like, Matt game, and it's like Buffalo and Akron went 67-0. You're like, this is boring.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if it's a random 7 overtime, 68-60.
That's so crazy. Man.
Yeah. But yeah. That's why we like sports.
That's why I love sports.
Sports.
We got to come up with like a cool little button that we can do, like, you know, like, and then it's like, sports. And every time I go into a new category, it's the category, but in a different, I'll work on it. We'll work on it, peeps.
We'll fix that in post.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely thinking the sports thing. The
sports.
Don't mind my lisp. Anyways, do you have, before I say this is going to be.
I do not.
You do not. You sure?
Yeah, I am.
You're more than welcome to throw something in there.
Boobs.
Nice. Nice.
I think that's a good thing to end on.
We'll put a link for that. all right, everybody. Seriously, as always, thank you so much for listening. You don't know that this is late, but we're telling you it's late on our end anyway. It won't be late for you for listening. But keep the support up. We're appreciating all the followers. Followers. I wasn't drinking. But seriously, it's been growing. It's been great. So seriously, keep that up and keep writing us in. We've had a couple people that are going to be on the podcast that are going to be calling in. Seriously, we're super excited about it. It's starting to grow. So this is really exciting. It's only our 8th episode. And we really want to thank you guys for the traction and what it's becoming. To our listeners in Sweden, what up? To our listeners in Canada, what's up? Everywhere. I mean, it literally, the analytics have been amazing. And yeah, that's all I got to say about it. I really am super thankful, and hopefully you like what we're doing. And if you don't, let me know that too. Let us know that too. We would love to hear why you hate it, and we'll write you a nice message back. So, Alex, anything?
Well, like I did last week, I have a few pieces of friendly advice.
I don't even know why I set you up like that. I know you already have something premeditated, and it may. Yeah, go ahead.
And I go and I can actually quote it right this time. I said Mickey Rooney last time. It's Andy Rooney.
Way off.
And I way off.
Samsonite.
I was way off. A few pieces of advice I have. Never drink the juice by a cult.
My dogs are growling under Alex's feet. They don't like what you have to say, Alex.
Shit.
Come on.
Never drink the juice if you're in a cult run by a man by the name of Jim Jones. Never go into a chocolate factory.
What?
It's a Willy Wonka reference.
Oh, why wouldn't you do that though? Charlie came out. Ooh. I don't like that one.
One of them did.
I'm gonna hit that button. Keep going.
Shit. And the third and final one that I have is never, and I mean ever, go hunting with Dick Cheney. Peace.